are a good gauge of understanding what's important within a society. We often don't realize, but there's a lot of money that gets spent researching what people want to hear, what they think, the things that they're passionate about. And it's on that basis that the advertisers put together their advertisements. Well, it's fitting that today is the beginning is the official beginning of the North American Auto Show here in Detroit, that we look at an auto commercial and just reflect on it. The one I want to point out to your attention is actually a campaign that was put on by, is being put on, it's been kind of in different iterations from the Cadillac company. Throughout it normally features people who look like they have made it into the upper quintile of the U.S. tax code. You know, you could tell these are people who are not, you know, struggling or working on the farm. These are people who in many ways within our society are viewed as having made it. They often tell different parts of their story or different parts of their life. But what's fascinating is even when they tell their story of their rise to success, they don't talk about how the car helped them get there. No, the car is more a sign to everyone else that they have arrived, that they are there. And with that, what is being emphasized, even in the architecture of the car and everything, is a sense of power. And the goal ultimately is that everyone will look at you and envy you, because they know that this is just a symbol of what you have in life. And the slogan that goes along with it is what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit. Let me give you counterpoint. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. I'd like to read to you verses 22 through 24. Jeremiah chapter 9. Hear the word of the Lord as is spoken to the prophet Jeremiah. Say, this is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way in which it cuts through all the clouds and distortions that we have around us. The way in which it reveals your true nature, your heart. The way in which you use your word to speak to us, to transform us into the image of your Son. I ask and pray that as we come to your word today, as we come to it as a people, we come to it with open arms, and the heart open, minds ready to listen to you. I pray that we will be transformed. And this I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. I couldn't help but think as I read those words in verse 22 of another time when Jesus spoke about the harvest. You may recall when he said to his disciples, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. In many ways, Jeremiah tells us that an awful picture, gives us a horrible picture of the consequences of what happens when workers aren't sent into the field. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuse on the open field, like cut grain behind the reaper, with no one to gather them in. It's part of the reason, part of the impetus why we're called upon to pray for the Lord of the harvest. Because if there are not those who go and speak. See, there is a tendency to fill our words with things that don't really matter? How many people are lost because no one will speak to them words that lead to life? Now, ultimately, people talk about the things that interest them most, things that matter most to them. I'm sure that all of you somewhere along the line have had a teacher that you could get off subject and waste vast amount of time with if you just said the right thing. You know, for me, it was my high school physics teacher, Mr. Powell. When I was taking his course, he was in the process of editing his father's autobiography. And so if we were in a particular mood, you know, we couldn't play the card every day. But if every now and then we were kind of in the mood, you know, no one wanted to do any physics work or go listen to a lecture, all you had to do was ask, Mr. Powell, how's your father's autobiography going? Did you come on any interesting stories? You know, and once you did that, you know, we were God. You know, that the whole idea of doing physics that day was history, and we just listened to these you know, interesting stories of his father. See, we talk about the things that matter most to us. And what the Lord says here in verse 23, He talks about the things that we are boasting in. Now, the word here boast, the Hebrew word is a word that's associated with the shining of the sun. It's as if the sun itself is boasting with its light. It's a word that very often is used of praising a deity or a god. And in fact, many other translations will use, instead of the word boast here, will use the word glory. Let the wise men glory. In other words, shine forth these things. For in some sense, when we are boasting about something, we are lifting it up to others that they might likewise come and bow before it, as if it were God. We are calling it to people's attention, calling them to place their trust and follow that this is something that has that value and that worth. But what are the things that we're tempted to focus our attention and boast on? Well, the Lord mentions three in our text for this morning. What does He say? The first, He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. He's talking about here of a personal prowess. See, in our culture, it's rare for people to outright make claims of wisdom. You know, there are few and far between, but most people will you know, deprecate in some way. Well, I'm just normal. You know, everybody may give me these accolades, but I'm just a normal person. You know, it rarely happens that we boast of our wisdom. But when we begin to look a little more carefully at what is being spoken of here, we realize that the word wisdom here covers a whole gamut of human experience. The word here, wisdom, also means to be shrewd, like shrewd in business. Now, we may not hear Donald Trump saying, I'm the wisest man in the world, but are you surprised if he says, I'm a shrewd businessman? In the same way, it can be described as being skilled in various kinds of activities or technical work. That you have a great ability at this or that. So what is this boasting of wisdom? In essence, it is the pride in our ability to be able to accomplish things. Even to know certain things, to know ideas and truths. Yeah, again, you often hear, and I can remember occasionally hearing a professor say something like, well, anyone who is educated agrees with. You normally know as soon as they say that, watch out, because there's a lot of educated people who don't. But what they're doing is they're doing what? They are boasting of their wisdom, that we are of the group that have arrived with this great understanding. We know these things, and pity those pitiful poor people who don't understand and don't see things as clearly as we see them. What is this boasting of our wisdom? It is the pride that comes when we feel we have the right connections with the right person. This boasting can be in the simple form of name dropping. And it's amazing how often we'll feel that we can do it, even if we've just brushed up against somebody. Did you know that, you know, I went and Arnold Schwarzenegger went to the same restaurant as I did? 5 years apart, but we went there. Now, and I don't know what you think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I just Anyway, I don't even know where I got that name at. You know, it's that kind of thing. That's a way in which we find ourselves boasting with these connections. Or our ability to solve problems in order to get what we want. You know, throughout the Cold War, we were taught to believe that America was God's answer to communism. And in fact, the United States has credited itself with communism's demise. Now, as the world faces new threats, what are we fearing? You know, I've heard politicians on both sides of the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans, and probably this would also go for whatever other party, say things like this: America is the last best hope for humanity. Those are frighteningly dangerous words. But we are, in essence, doing what? We are boasting of our wisdom. See, when we're placing all of this, see, you know, the hope for the world rests in American ingenuity, in American technology, in the ideas of democracy that we have, in the economic strength. This is where the hope of humanity rests. Because we have the ability. We are the lone ones who stand in front of the world. This is all ways in which we find the boasting coming out. Now, sometimes on a personal level, we won't put that boasting into words. A lot of times, it will merely just bump around in our head, looking at someone and say, boy, how stupid they are. Thinking of ourselves much more accomplished, thinking straighter thoughts, having better gifts, whatever. Personal prowess. Then there's personal power, which is referred to here as strength. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength. The word here, strength, in the Hebrew, was a word that was commonly used to describe what is referred to as a mighty man, a hero, or a champion. This is the strength of the successful warrior. The Hebrew here was originally a technical term used for men of a certain social class, in other words, the nobles. Because the nobles had money, and with that money, they were able to buy a sword. Now, you could imagine going into battle, which would you rather have? Would you rather have your farmer's hoe or a sword? And who do you think normally came out at the end of the battle, you know, when you had a large army? You know, you'd lose some of your guys with their, you know, pitchforks and their hoes and stuff like that. But amazingly, guess who normally ended up walking away? The guy with the sword and the shield. And that's where this word comes from. And it's this idea of this power and this might that comes in that sense. This is a feeling that at the position that one has attained, ultimately, they are better than others. The idea here, when someone is boasting the strength, in essence, they are saying, you know, we can force our will on others. No one can force his or her will on us. That's because we are the masters of our own destiny. You know, in the Cadillac commercial, it's that feeling that you know that they have where someone says, and when you push the gas pedal, you feel it. See, it's not just about, you know, getting where I want to go. I want to know that there's so much power in this car, it just kind of radiates up through my foot, through my whole body. And that, you know, the road is mine, so get out of the way. Because I got the power. It was, I don't know whether you noticed in the psalm that we read, the Psalm 33, the words that we ourselves said, you know, the power of what nations doesn't rest in its military, does it? For the greatest, as much great as you might think that power is, God can just wipe it away. In a moment. The power that we may feel that we have, and the influence and the ability to control our destiny that we may think we have, positionally. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. This probably needs the least explanation of all, because we know how much pride we attach to wealth. When was the last time you got something new and you wanted to show people? Probably not that long ago, was it? You know, we like to boast of these. We like to lift these things up. And again, in the Cadillac commercial, it's the idea, literally, they'll have pictures of people driving along and other people looking at them and kind of shaking their heads going, yeah, someday maybe me. We like that sense. You know, Cadillac doesn't show people who are being frugal or environmentally friendly. No, that's not their demographic. They want people who want to boast of their riches. And sometimes this can be projected. And sometimes we don't have those riches ourselves. Or we don't have that personal prowess or the power or the plenty. We don't have the strength. We don't have those. But again, we're connected in some way with others who do, so we celebrate. How many of you have ever said, after a U of M game, we won? Okay? I don't believe I've ever seen any of you out on the field. Am I right? And yet we have that sense in which we connect and we allow ourselves to boast about this. What amazes me, not only will people boast so much about that, they will also go about mocking the other team and fans of the other team, as if they had any difference in the outcome. See, that boasting could be, in some senses, projected or something that we have or we see from others. It can be a something that one gets from a spouse. It could be from their kids. It could be from their company or the school or whatever it is. It can be these kinds of things. But you may ask the question, why are we not to boast of these things? Why are we not to boast of wisdom, strength, or riches, or power, our prowess, or our plenty? Well, on the one hand, because if you just look at human wisdom, you realize it's only partial wisdom. It never sees the whole story. It's never wide enough to take in all the factors. It's kind of a tunnel vision, narrow and limited. And that's why we always think we've arrived at solutions to problems, only to find sometimes years down the line that the solutions not only have made the problem worse, they've created new problems all of their own. You know, it's fascinating to see what's happening in some of the whole area of antibiotics. There was one period of time in which antibiotics were touted, and you can read some of the science fiction from that time, that there would one day be an elimination of all germs and bacteria that could hurt people and all these kinds of diseases because of antibiotics. But what are we now beginning to discover? That antibiotics have helped us to actually create superbugs that never existed before. In our wisdom and our sense of we are invincible, we can conquer the world. What we've done is we've created even more lethal ways, in some sense, to kill ourselves. This comes from the hubris, from that unfaced pride. I'm not saying here, okay, let's assign all antibiotics to the pit and burn them all. That's not what I'm saying. But when we give our inordinate support, when we give our hold these up as a solution for humanity and mankind, we miss the point. Human wisdom will always fall short. T.S. Eliot put it so beautifully when he said, "All our knowledge only brings us closer to our ignorance, and all our ignorance closer to death. But closer to death, no closer to God." Then he asks a question which hangs over our generations. Where is the life we have lost in liberty? Life, liberty, and the pursuit. For God has offered us something that is truly worth boasting about. Verse 24. Let him who boasts
boast about this.
That He understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. We have something worth talking about. What we need to do is talk about. See, we could talk about our God, and there's a lot to talk about when we start talking about God. But what is mentioned here in this verse are four different aspects. Look at all. He begins with all that He understands and knows me. Think about this for a moment. We're being told that this is a God that wants to be found. This is a God that wants to be known. This is a God that wants to be in relationship with people. See, what's being said there is not something about that we're saying about ourselves. Well, I found God and you didn't. That's not what you're boasting about. You're boasting about the fact that God has found you. See, there's a humility, there's an understanding here that this is about God and not about us. It's our understanding, our knowledge of God is not a product of what? Our wisdom. It's not because of our savvy. It's not because of our wealth. See, the boasting here is not because we're much smarter. It's not because we're spiritually savvy. See, the moment we hear ourselves boasting about how much better we are because we were smart enough, wise enough, or spiritual enough to accept God is the moment we've shifted into another form of boasting of our own wisdom. See, it is because of God's merciful action, His revelation of Himself, that we can even begin to know Him. This is a God who reveals Himself. Isn't it worth shining that light? Isn't it worthwhile letting that glory shine? This is a God who has gone out of His way to build a growing relationship with people. This is a God, He says, who exercises kindness, touching the deepest needs people have. This is a God of justice, answering the cry of the human heart that things should be sorted out. This is something that we can declare so clearly in Jesus, who embodied the passion of God for justice. And through His death and through His resurrection, set in motion the plan to rescue the world and put things right. Is that something worth shining? Is that worth boasting about? That through the power of the cross, injustice has been decisively met. And in the resurrection and through the resurrection power of Christ, we get a foretaste of the justice to come as it breaks into our world. As Christians, we can boast that Jesus, God Himself, shares humanity's passion for justice and has put it into effect. So that in the end, all tears will be dried and the world will be filled with justice and mercy. Isn't that something worth talking about? This is a God of kindness, a God of justice. This is a God of righteousness. A God who can be trusted to never initiate evil, even for noble purposes. A God who will always act rightly. We have something to talk about. And one of the amazing things is that knowing God, we then have access to real and complete wisdom. In knowing God, we have access to real strength. And in knowing God, we have access to true riches. This is life. This is liberty. This is worth pursuing. Lord, help us pursue You. Amen.